Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for this blessed fellowship that you've entrusted to us. Lord, thank you. I've been richly ministered unto already through the singing of God's people. And Lord, it's such a joy to hear that praise given unto you, a God who is worthy of our praise. So Lord, help us now to open our minds and hearts to the truths of this blessed book. Then God, help us to be ready as such on the edge of our seat, ready to not just hear, but respond to be doers of the basic blessed principles that are taught even here tonight. So God, I pray that you will stir us up, shake us up, do what's ever needed, Lord, to help us take this very personally and again be faithful stewards of what you bless us with this hour. Now, Lord, I don't know if there's someone here that needs to be saved, but that could be a big possibility. God, awaken them to their need of receiving Jesus, and God, help them to know him as personal Savior here this hour. For us believers in Christ Jesus, we still got some growing up to do. We have maturing that needs to take place, and God, grow us, mature us, mold us, make us, conform us to the image of Jesus Christ so we can be more like him, and then in turn do more for him. Thank you for your love. Thank you, God, for how you so perfectly care for us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as an evangelist, you want to kind of, you want to just get their attention right away. So I think this will work. Tonight's message is about gaining weight. Huh? How about that, boys and girls? You know, you see the stats like I do. I thought drugstores were the only businesses that were on every corner. You know what else I see as I travel on about every corner? Another fitness center that's empty. Okay? You know, now they're full this time of year. And as I told the young people, how long does that commitment of becoming a physical fitness wonderment last for a new year before you? About 90 days is the average. Isn't it amazing how, again, we're quick to start, but we're real bad about finishing the commitments we're supposed to do, well, that we know are right and really would be best for us, and in a spiritual way, be best for God, his will, and his working. But we are going to talk about gaining weight, but not the kind you thought of first of all, the WAIT type. So I want to read you several verses about this because, folks, without this, I guarantee you won't be as productive this year for Jesus like God would have you to be productive. So get your pens and pencils and papers out. I'm going to give you a bunch of stuff here to not just think about tonight, but take home and, again, meditate upon and, again, make sure you're putting this into practice. Let me give you some verses about waiting upon God. In Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 25, it says, "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, for the soul that seeketh him." In Psalm 62 and verse 5, it says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God," and I love this part, "for my expectation is from him." Now, what I do before I preach, I search through the notes of what I've preached in a certain place before. And I look back in one of the first meetings I ever had, I think it was about, might have been about like 2008 or something like that. And, you know, I preached out of Psalm 62 for the teenagers who are now some of you adults. But what I say usually when I preach here and use this verse, if anything good's going to happen, it's not because of you. Can you turn to someone and say that, please? Now, look, get your preaching finger out there and kind of look at them and say, "Excuse me." Come on, let me hear it. "Excuse me. If anything good's going to happen, it's not because of you." Okay, everybody point to Pastor Harper. Say, "Excuse me, Pastor." Say it with me. "Excuse me, Pastor. If anything good's going to happen, it's most certainly not because of you." Okay, yeah. Point to Brother Maynard. "Hey, Brother Maynard. If anything good's going to happen, no way it's going to be because of you." And you know what? That's the truth. Folks, it's not all about us. It's all about what God does in us, then what God chooses to set forth through us. But the key element in this aspect of productivity and faithfulness and fruitfulness is that we choose, as we learn, to wait upon God biblically. Let me read the whole verse again. It says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Then Psalm 33 and verse 20, it says, our soul waiteth for the Lord, for he is our help and our shield. Now, I want to prove to you that I was with teenagers this weekend. Here's the response I get from teenagers. How much do I have to do that? How long do I have to be faithful? Well, let me give you the right answer concerning this topic of waiting upon God. Here's a reference you're probably not familiar with. In Hosea chapter 12 and verse 6, it says, wait on God. Does anybody know what the word is that's coming? It's continually. Now, folks, you know I'm not the sharpest pencil in the box. I'm nowhere, anywhere close to education wowing presentation as the grand poobah of pastorship, Brother Harper. But you know what? I got this. You know what continually means? Continually! And that just means continually. And it's not real hard to catch on to if you choose to be faithful. But here's probably the most well-known verse on this topic. Probably a lot of you have this memorized. For you old people, the ones that need to re-memorize it because you don't even know your name. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 40, if you would, please. Isaiah chapter 40. You know, why would Pastor Harper, before I get ready to preach, look at me and say, behave, Maynard? Because of comments like that. Look at Isaiah chapter 40, if you would, please, and go down with me again to a very, very, hopefully, very familiar verse unto you. And again, it deals with this topic of waiting upon our God. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, you say, oh, yeah, I know that one. Well, I thought you would. It says here, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. What was that talking about? It means I can be faithful on the whole program of God's will for my life from the start to the finish. I can be again renewed through the power and working of God. But I got a part of the equation. I need to choose to biblically wait upon our God. So here's the question I'm sure that should be popping up in your brain. How do you do that? Is waiting upon God just sitting around doing nothing? Well, as the one preacher said, then we got a lot of faithful believers today. No, that's not what it's dealing with here, folks. Is it some zapping whatever from the will and working of God? No, God wants us to function and take action, but not take action apart from his intervening power and wherewithal. Now, waiting, as most of you already know, it means we're going to enact or put forth in our lives certain things like faith and trust and dependence and hope, and one that's really dealt with in abundance in the passage we'll turn to. Well, you might as well do it now. Turn to John chapter 15. I go to Faith Baptist Church in Taylor, South Carolina. That's just like kissing cousins to Greenville, South Carolina. And I'm under one of the most phenomenal expositors of the Word of God today, a guy named Pastor John Monroe. Now, he's the kind of guy, see, we evangelists can take a whole book and preach it in one setting. Pastor Monroe is going to do this, hopefully, before he dies. He's gone through the whole Gospel of John, and he just goes over verse after verse after verse. Now, hey, I've been home. I've been a normal so-called church guy. I'm eating it up. Well, we just came through chapter 15, so I'm pretty lit over this section of Scripture, but it really helps us have greater understanding concerning waiting upon God. Now, the word that's used here, and it appears, this wait business appears about 11 times, it's the word abide in this passage, and talking about the vine and the branches, continue in verse 9, remain in verse 11. But what is that definition of this activity called abide? Well, same aspect and attitude and approach as waiting upon God. It means to keep in fellowship with Christ so that his life can work in and through us to produce fruit. Now, what kind of fruit is God looking to have from you and from me? Well, a good crop of what Christianity is all about. And folks, do we see much of that today? Really, what represents and sets forth a Christ-likeness that will impact hearts and change lives for all eternity. So how can you, How can I tell whether or not I'm right in this area? And I'm biblically waiting upon Christ. I am truly biblically abiding in Him. Again, it's not some special feeling. But there will be very specific evidences that will show up in your life this year as you make the right biblical faithful choice to wait upon God continually. Now, I'm a checklist guy. I like to have it kind of lined up for me so I can retain it, I can review it, and hopefully go back and respond to it in a faithful way. So let's go to number one here. If you're taking notes, write this down. When you wait upon God, you will produce fruit. Now, here in John chapter 15, we're going to start out in verse 2. Have you found that passage? John chapter 15 and verse 2, where it says this, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." People, you know what? We're the only ones satisfied with fruit. You know what God's after? More fruit. And much fruit. But it seems like we get a couple of points on our scorecard and we kind of pat ourselves on the back and we sit back and say, well, somebody else now needs to go forth and be faithful. I've done my part. Can we ever do enough to show our love and appreciation to God? If you don't know the answer, I'll give it to you. No, we can't. Folks, we should all be looking to do more and more. And as God, by His grace, allows it, even do more for the Lord Jesus Christ. So what kind of fruit needs to be produced? Well, again, there are several points under this specific representation of waiting upon God. And the first one's a no-brainer. It's a dedicated life. Nothing should matter to you more than that which matters unto Jesus. Christ must not just be prominent. He must be what? Preeminent. If Jesus Christ is not first place in your life, you are out of God's will, period, without apology. If Jesus is not your all in all the time, you know what? You're going to mess up as far as faithfulness and fruitfulness is concerned. Now, I'm thankful you're a good steward of providing for your family, but they don't just need your money. They need your faithfulness to the working of God. They need to learn through your example how you make a choice every day to say, hey, God, what do you want? God, what would you have me to do? And not do it out of, oh, if I don't do this, God's going to spank me. But do it because you love Him from head to toe. You know, if I had a theme that was woven throughout the entire weekend with the teenagers, it's simply Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. That thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy might, with all thy soul. And folks, all the time, that will not happen unless you choose to have Christ reigning and ruling on your heart's throne. Have you thought that through in this new year? Have you thought about if you used to be that way or that's the way you are now in your relationship with Him? If you come forward tonight, teenager or adult, for no other reason, and you need to come forward and make sure that He's number one. Your love, your life, your all in all the time. So the first type of fruit that will show up if you're biblically doing this the way it's supposed to, you'll show forth a dedicated life. Number two, you'll have growth in holiness and obedience to God. You know, every day you'll look to be more faithful. More obedient, more biblical in representation and attitude and action and presentation of life of Jesus Christ. And folks, God still has, as far as expectation to all of us, be ye holy as He is holy. What does that mean? A clear, unquestionable testimony, my life is set apart from Him. That's that dedication stuff. But teens, listen, here's the part we all struggle with. Being set apart from this world that hates your God and wants to keep you from being faithfully dedicated unto Him, and again, set apart from the world that's before you that hates your God. So, folks, if you're doing this right, you will show forth a dedicated life. Secondly, you will be growing daily in holiness and obedience to God. You'll look to be more faithful tomorrow than you've ever been before. Wouldn't that impact your thinking? Wouldn't that again transform you and conform you more to a faithful, usable vessel fit for the master's bidding? You better believe it would. And number three, you will be winning others to Jesus Christ. God kind of quiet. Have you even thought about that? You know, I told the teens, you know, how are you going to hit a target unless you set a target before you? How are you going to reach a goal unless you have a goal that you're again looking to attain to in faithfulness? Have you committed your life this year to at least lead one person to Jesus? Well, we don't get out much. You know, technology is a very torturous, destructive thing, but it's also a great tool if you're homeward bound. If you're stuck at home, use what God has blessed you with, but don't quit being a soul winner. Because when you wait upon God biblically, as I preach to your teenagers, God's burden will become your burden. And my Jesus is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. One of the most impacting, soul-winning churches in this entire state should be this church. Because you folks know that's what God would have done. But most fundamental, Bible-believing people don't go anywhere close to being a soul winner. They're soul conscious, maybe. They don't want anybody going to hell for all eternity. But they don't take the personal, again, opportunity and responsibility as their very own. And they're just hoping someone else will do it. Wait a minute, why did God leave you here? He left you to fulfill His burden. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every person that God gives opportunity. You know why most folks don't soul win on a daily, consistent basis? Because you're listening, teenagers, because they're not waiting on God. Continue. You're waiting on your personality. You're waiting on your preferences of life. You're waiting on, again, what you think you can do. Instead, just simply availing yourself as an instrument to be used of God the way He wants to use you. And folks, that ain't going to happen unless you're waiting on God continually. So a dedicated life, growth in holiness and obedience to God every day, you'll seek to win others. And here's a biggie, folks. The Christian life will show forth the fruit of the Spirit. Now, folks, what, again, amazes me, when I've asked people, are you maintaining faithfulness to the fruit of the Spirit? Then I ask the next question, what might that be? Where is that found in the Word of God? Now, most of you are going to pop up real quick and say Galatians chapter 5, and you'd be right. But have you reviewed that to make sure that overrides your personality and preferences? That, again, overrides your pressure and frustrations of life. Are you sure that you are showing what your children, what your grandchildren, what people you work with need to see? They need to see Jesus through you. And that will be a choice on purpose to be dead to self, alive to Christ, and through the power of God, the Holy Spirit that dwells within you, you will be a testimony of the fruit of the Spirit. And here's one that's not very well practiced amongst many Christians that I know. Matter of fact, most. If you're, again, producing fruit as you wait upon God, the fruit of praise, here's the word again, will be continually on your lips. You know, folks, nobody likes to be around a whiner. And I'm not talking about sipping the bottle. Y'all with me here? I'm talking about negative complaint. Doesn't that just drive you nuts? Don't you want to be around someone who loves Jesus, who has faith and trust in who and what He is and what He's looking to do and what He will do? Don't you want someone around you that's rejoicing in the goodness of God and understand great is our God? And greatly to be praised. And they're not afraid or ashamed for anybody to hear about it. Shouldn't that be you? Again, why don't most people praise God in an open... Well, we don't want them to think we're one of those churches. Well, you know what? I don't think it would hurt it if you got a bit more excited. You know, I think God would be pleased if you were a bit more expressive. And again, your love and adoration and awe of how wonderful and great our God is. Now, we don't want to go nutso. We don't just want to have a wacko run the aisle, wave the hanky, and just distract from the teaching of the Word of God. But folks, if you don't get excited about this stuff in Christ Jesus, something's missing and not right in your relationship with Jesus. And I think I know the problem for most. They're not choosing to biblically wait upon their God. Because if you do, the fruit of praise will be continually on your lips. So number one, you will produce fruit, and you got a good basket full of what God's after. But number two is this, you will experience pruning. Did you notice that in verse 2? Go back to that if you would please with me. It says here again, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Why? Because he wants to show who's in charge. He wants to show he's the thumper from on high. Well, that's not the God of my Bible. That's not the one I have grown to love and learn about on a daily basis. No, God just wants you to be the best at what he has called and saved you to be faithful unto. But what happens, folks, if you don't take away the hindrances of growth, you're not going to grow. Now, many of you know I was staff evangelist down at Colonial Hills Baptist Church in Indianapolis under Bob Taylor for about 20 years. And when we first moved down there, we just poor as a church mouse, and some gracious member, he let us stay in his little condominium thing, and that was a blessing. But we eventually moved to an apartment, and then we got a house. I became a big bucks evangelist. I bought a house. And it was a little 1,500 square foot home, but it was the ugliest landscaped home known to mankind. So I was very deeply burdened to make this testimony the way it's supposed to be as far as the exterior of my abode. So I had this bush in front of my house that looked like the Charlie Brown Christmas tree. You know what I'm talking about? There's one dangling little thing here. And I told my wife, I said, this thing is going to do or it's going to die. Now, I wasn't big bucks enough to have an electric trimmer. Why did I need it with my Charlie Brown tree here? I just had these monstrous shears that I cut my children's hair with. And so I went and got these shears out of the garage, and I started cutting. Hated the bush. I cut that thing as short as the hair on the top of my head because I didn't care if this thing lived or died because it was just an eyesore. You know what happened? This thing started growing like nobody's business. I was trimming this thing all the time. And I'm telling you, people, if I would have left that tree unto itself, it would have eaten the entire city of Indianapolis. Are you people with me here? Now, what brought that kind of unbelievable foliage and growth? Pruning. The thing we run from. You know, whom the Lord loves, he's going to chasten. God wants to purge the garbage out of your life. So again, he can use you more and more to produce what a Christian's here to produce. And that's being a soul winner. That's being a discipler. That is faithfully doing God's will set forth through this book. But most people don't go there and do that. And you know the bottom reason why. We're not willing to be faithful. And again, yield ourselves to be very obvious in our choosing to wait on God biblically. Let's go to number three. Prayers are answered. Now, if you don't think this through, you're going to think God's a genie in a lamp here, but that's not the way this prayer business works. Look with me at chapter 15, go down to verse 7. There's this conditional word, if. Look at the passage. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You know the only part of teenagers here? And it shall be done unto you. Come on, mama needs a new pair of shoes. I just need more things of the world. Okay, God wants to fulfill the desire of your heart, but he's not going to honor your sinful desires of the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. He doesn't work that way. But God will God will bring forth an obvious blessed working in you. But folks, we got to get with the program that allows it to work. How many times have you heard me in my preaching say this? Most people want the promises of God, but the reason it doesn't happen is because they refuse to get with the program of God's working. Let me say that again. You want God to bless the ever-loving socks off of your life, but you're not willing to take the aggressive, biblical, obedient effort, like waiting upon God, to allow this program to be kicked into working order the way God wants to kick it in working order. Look back at the passage. If ye abide in me, and my words abide, what's going to happen to you today? You're not going to think according to your wicked carnal flesh. It's not going to be all about me. It's going to be all about him. And isn't that the Christ-like response we should be having as our goal? Not my will, but what, folks? Thy will be done. Now, folks, I've been in prayer mode here for the past 3 years, probably harder and more diligently than I've ever been in my life. But I tried to never tell God to do anything. I just asked. I just was seeking. And I was knocking, looking to depend upon the Lord. And folks, when you're thinking biblically, you have a blessed opportunity to respond in a biblical, God-honoring fashion. So here's the program, the way that God says it works. But look with me at the fourth point here. If you are biblically abiding in Christ, waiting upon God, you will experience a deepening love for Christ and for other believers. If you, again, are waiting upon God, you will experience a deepening love for Christ and for other believers. It's hard, impossible, let's say, to be a faithful, God-honoring servant if you don't like people. Y'all with me here? You know, grumps for Jesus is your battle cry. That's just the kind of, you, again, wait on your personality. You don't like people because it just messes up what you want to do. You're not waiting on my God. You're not becoming more like him, because all I see through the testimony of my Jesus, he is always giving and giving and never stops giving and seeking to meet the needs of others. Again, why don't you do that? Because you're waiting on the wrong person. You're abiding in the wrong place as far as your choices are concerned. And you are not faithful in the matter of waiting upon our God. Now, let me show you several verses here. This is so rich. This is actually where we were parked last week as far as our study in this particular passage. And I'll try not to stay here too long, even though I'd like to. Look down with me at verse 9 where it says this. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Here's what God's after. Continue ye in my love. Then skip a few verses. We'll come back here. But go down with me to verse 12 where it says this. This is my commandment. Hey, teens. Doesn't that mean what God expects us and wants us to do? You with me there? Okay, listen carefully. This is my commandment, what? That you love one another. How? As I have loved you. Teenager, not because of what they wear or they don't wear, not because they have this skill or that skill, not because of their possessions, not because of their popularity. No, you just love them unconditionally the way Jesus loves us. How much more impact could these teenagers make if they dealt with that preferential choice of, hey, I love them because of certain little qualifications I've stirred up in my brain, and I'm not going to go past that in any depth or degree. You know where they learned that from? From us adults. And folks, shame on us that we're not waiting on God, abiding in him in a biblical way, so we love the way God would have us to love, unconditionally, sacrificially, as I said, giving, giving, and never stop giving. That's the depth. That's the degree of love that God wants to be set forth through our lives. Now, again, not based on us kind of pulling the bootstraps up and doing it ourselves. No, we yield to God's wherewithal. We're filled with his power through the working of the Holy Spirit. And God gives us the wherewithal to rightly represent Jesus Christ and showing forth His kind of love. So prayers will be answered. You'll experience a deepening love for Christ and for others, believers. But here's one, folks, I wish I saw a whole bunch more. You will experience joy. Now look what God's after, and these are the verses that I left out on purpose. First of all, let me read verse 10. It says, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Now here we go with that joy business. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Now, folks, is that a little bit or a lot of bit? That's a lot of bit. You know, one of my favorite, winter activities is It's a Wonderful Life. Folks, this is not talking about a smidgen. This is talking about, obviously, abundantly, pouring out of all you are and all you do that great joy that's found in Christ Jesus. That rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. That count it all joy that we preached about today, that will not happen. Because I guarantee you will not be delivered from your flesh, delivered from your circumstances, and again, experience that victory to set forth a joyous testimony, unless you make a right choice to wait on God continually. That other stuff will eat you alive, won't it? It'll consume you and seek to control you in your thought process and your approach to every day and every person that you meet. And again, folks, are you going to get it done? Not unless you choose to do it according to the will and working of God. And that is to wait on God biblically. Now let me read a couple more verses here just because it's such a blessing to my heart. In verse 13 it says this, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And don't you love verse 4? Doesn't it just make you want to shout and run the aisles even as a fundamental Bible believing person? Look down at verse 14. "Ye are my friends." But here's what God's after. I just want you to show your love to me. And just do what I ask you to do. Follow, not because of have to, but because you care about me, to again go forth in faithfulness and just simply in 2018 get the job done. Folks, this is a great church, but it can even be more fruitful. This church, there are a few churches I can say this and again say it boldly and quickly without even much thought. This is a church filled with unbelievable potential. But folks, I know what you're surrounded with. You're surrounded with iniquity. Man, with all these trailer factories and these folks that are so confused in their religious persuasion. Folks, this area is in desperate need of hearing what you know concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. But you will never become that sacrificial, give your all, give your best, get it done servant of God unless you get this right. And you choose to biblically. And again, make sure tomorrow you're biblical. And the next day until Jesus takes you home, you're biblically choosing not to wait on your personality, not to wait on your circumstances of life, not to wait upon your preferences, but biblically choose to wait upon our God. And if you're not sure whether you're doing it or not, I hope you took notes tonight, and you go right back and review, the obvious evidences will come forth as you choose to biblically wait upon our God. Would you bow your heads and hearts, please? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Folks, what a privilege. What a blessed opportunity we have this year to not do just a little, but more than we've ever done for the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, I noticed this. I don't know if you did. There's some folks that didn't show up tonight that were here this morning. Now, I understand the senior citizen dilemma aspect. My mom's homebound and she loves God and wants to be in church, but she just can't physically. I get all that. But there's some teenagers here that aren't here, but they could be if you got busy showing how much you care for them. If you really took it personally that they're being ripped off by their fleshly choosing and the influences of the world that's around them. Folks, unless you see yourself the way God would have you to be, it's just not going to be done to the depth and degree that He would have it done. And I believe that revelation of God's blessed, illuminating power will come as you make a choice to say, hey, flesh, get out of my face. Devil, leave me alone. And oh God, I'm going to abide in you. Because you promised me, those that wait upon God, they're going to renew their strength. They're going to soar. They're going to run. They're going to take a progressive, aggressive action toward getting the job done. And God, through your power, I will be faithful. But folks, here's your part of the equation. Would you tonight commit to be biblical and wait upon your God? Would you stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, please? Heads bowed and your eyes closed. We're going to have a hymn of invitation here in just a moment. Pastor Harper's going to come and lead it. And folks, as we have this, it's a great opportunity to respond again to the convicting of God to your heart. Whether you're in the balcony, you're in the back, you're a visitor, or you're a full-time member, as God again seeks to work in your heart to bring you to this point of right decision-making process, hey, don't be ashamed to bless others and share God's working as you respond on this invitation opportunity. Help us, Heavenly Father, as we have again this opportunity of not just hearing, but responding to your work, that God, we will be so excited, so on the edge of our seat as such, to faithfully yield to a right choice of waiting upon you. Now, Lord, we think we are, but do we really see the evidences? Are we really producing the fruit? If not, Lord, something's broken that needs to be fixed. And God, give them clarity of thought, conviction of heart, and God, courage to respond to what you would have done even here this hour. Praise you, God, for your goodness. Help us to look to please you this hour. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.